as a human being, apply human logic to the difficulties or try to resolve the solution, you know, try to resolve the problems and bring about the solution. And nothing wrong in that. Many times the logical solutions come about and things happen. But God can do anything, and he defies the logic. And he still works through those things. And that has happened over and over and over many times. So here is the situation. And when I say that, I'll give you a couple of examples about that, how God defies the logic. But when we say this, all these things, I want to kind of paint a picture before you and really think about the situation. You know, God probably impresses on our heart about doing certain things in our life. And he says, you know, this is what you should be doing. We call that God's call upon our life. And he just kind of directs our path and gives us the direction in our life that this is what particular thing, whatever it may be. You know, it is a short term, long term, whatever it may be. And he gives us all that. And we kind of take that and we know that in our heart, in our mind. And when we go into that, all of a sudden there are problems and there are barriers, and we experience closed doors into those situations. And as we do that, we kind of wonder whether to begin with, if it was God really wanted us to do that. And how do we determine if God calls us to do certain things, whatever it may be? It may be one day thing, it may be one week thing, it may be lifelong calling or whatever it may be. And God calls us and we hear from God and we are planning to do that, and all of a sudden there are nothing but the problem starts to come. And then in our mind, in our heart, we kind of question God's direction for our life or what God has called us. And we kind of determine that if God has given us the direction or has asked us to do certain things, then everything should be just very straightforward and there should not be any problem. And everything should go very smoothly, isn't it? Would you agree to that most of the times? Yeah, but if God has asked me, so the door has opened and everything should go just normally and we should do that. But many times God calls us to do certain things and there are hurdles and there are problems and there are issues that come in our life. And they are there. That does not mean that God just wants us to quit, and it is not God's desire for us to do those things in our life. The problems, the difficulties, the impossible things that we see in our life, if God has really called us to do certain things, is not an indication that God wants to steer us away from his calling and what he wants us to do in our life. You know, God defies the logic of a human being, and he will still make a way through those situations in spite of all those difficulties, and he will give us whatever is needed for us to achieve what God has asked us to do. You know, that's the reality. I'll give you a really good example or a story about that. that happened yesterday. I was learning to repair a car, and my teacher was Aiden. And we were trying to figure out how to change the oil in the car. How simple, it's simple, right? So very simple. So we kind of attempted to do the, we have to change, you know, replace the oil filter and drain the oil and all that kind of a thing. So the oil filter would not come out because it was in a very awkward position. And so they just tried, and I'm the least in the chain of a mechanically, you know. And then I said, okay, guys, you tried for 3 hours. Let me do this. And I just tried it out of patience, and God helped me to take that thing out, you know. God defies the logic. And then we are taking the bolt out of the, you know, the drain thing, and then that thing just snaps, it just breaks. And half of it's inside, and it just kind of comes out, and it says, Aiden says, man, your car is toast now. It's kind of, you have thousands of dollars of bill, probably. It's going to happen. I said, okay, let me see. Let me use my finger to kind of turn the screw, and it started turning. And my finger was the best tool, and it just came out. It came out. If you would call, and Mike was there, and Mike said, how in the world did you do this? I said, Mike, I'm writing a manual on this, so I'll let you know. I don't know how I did it, but it just happened. It was just yesterday. It was so much fun-filled day we had, you know, when we have these young kids just kind of, it's just exciting. But it was a simple thing, but the lesson in that was God really defies logic in life, you know. There are problems, and we apply the logic, and it just kind of happens that God creates solution from nowhere. And he does. And I want you to kind of take hold of that this morning, that God is alive, and he works in a simple situation, in complicated situations, and in a difficult situation. If God wants us to go in that direction, he will be with us. So there is a story in the Bible, Exodus chapter 5 and 6. And this morning I want you to focus on that. And it is a story of Moses. And we know the Moses' story. He was running away from God, and he says, I have nothing to do, and I'm just living my life. And Moses experiences burning bush experience, right? We know that story. God speaks to him through that burning bush, and he draws his attention, and he says, Moses, I want you to go and connect with my people who are in bondage with Pharaoh, and they're suffering, and I want you to be a leader to go and free them. Like God speaks to him straight through the burning bush, and he just communicates with him, and he just, you know, he speaks to them. So if God speaks to you directly like that, if not same thing, something very clearly, and then you say, yes, I need to do that, you would think that it's going to be the easy path for me because it's God's desire, right? You know the story of Moses, what happened, and he responds to that. And he's there on the field, and he's trying to work with Pharaoh and the people of, you know, Israelites, and trying to free them. So let's pick up this story, and let's go through that and learn through that a little bit today. And the story starts in Exodus chapter 5, verse 1, and it says, Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. So let my people go to celebrate the feast, to worship the Lord, and you should give some, you know, freedom to them that they can spend some time in the wilderness to worship the Lord and celebrate the feast. And it's a good thing. Let them, you know, they are your slaves, they're your servant, and do that. And this is kind of communicated to the Pharaoh that this is Lord's message, God's message. And look at the response of Pharaoh's. You kind of know this story, but let's read this. But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go." He's kind of coming back at God's message and saying, who is, he's literally mocking God the Father, the God who created the universe, God who is in control, God who gives life, God who creates, the miracle, God who defies the logic, God who is all-knowing. Pharaoh just stands up against God and says, who is this God? I don't recognize him. I don't care what he says, and I'm not going to let Israelites go. You know, whether to freeing the people or not, it is a different story. But the attitude of Pharaoh is so bad that he stands up against God and he literally mocks him and says, who are you? I don't recognize you. I don't care what you say, and I'm not going to do what you are asking me through Moses and Aaron. And he says, I don't recognize who is God. Many times in our life, we come to the place that we are in the place in our life that we stand up or sit down or doesn't matter, whatever, but within our soul, we are standing up against God and challenging God and saying to him, I don't care who is there, what God is saying to me in my soul and what message I'm receiving from the servant of the servant of God or what he is saying to me in my situation, I'm not going to do that. I don't care what God says. I'm going to defy God and I'm going to just go against him, and I don't recognize the voice of the Lord. It may not be the same situation that God is asking us to free the slaves, because we don't have slaves or things like that. But God is probably addressing certain things in your life, and he is saying to you, there are probably big things, small things, whatever it may be, that you find yourself in the situation, and God is kind of addressing those issues in your life, whatever they may be. It doesn't matter if the issue is small or big, but God is communicating and giving the message to us and saying that, you know, this is what needs to happen. And we know that when God speaks to our heart, there is a prompting, and we are standing up and saying to God that I don't care. We don't have to even utter those words, but we know when we ignore God, and it is a problem. Whenever we defy God or we stand up against God, it is a problem. We find ourselves in a deeper and deeper mess when we do that. And that is what Pharaoh is going down the drain by standing up against God. And Moses requests to Pharaoh very nicely, you know, he says, he do not provide them. And then the issue comes as a consequence of that. Instead of letting them go, he says, don't provide them straw. Let them find their own. And he puts more burden on the people of, you know, Israelites. And we read that in verses 6 and 9, and it says, so the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmaster over the people and their foremen, saying, you are no longer to give the people straw to make bricks as previously, let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the quota of the brick which they were making previously, you shall impose on them. You are not to reduce any of it, because they are lazy, therefore they cry out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let the labor be heavier on the men, and let them work as it is, so that they will pay no attention to false words. So here is how Pharaoh analyzes people's heart to cry out to God. You know, the people, Israelites, people of God, wanting to come together, worship God, cry out to God, you know, celebrate the festival, worship Him, and you know, just celebrate God together, give Him thanks and worship Him. And the Pharaoh analyzes that and equates the worship of people of God equals to laziness. Equals to, you know, he analyzes that, and his conclusion is they are lazy people. They are listening to the false words from whoever, whatever it is, and it is not, they are not in a good place because they have too much time to think. And so we should burden them more with work. And so he burdens them more with work. Many times in this world, when, you know, throughout the history, people who worship the true living God, Jesus Christ, you know, they have been mocked around the world many times. That these people have nothing to do in their life. They depend upon the false hope that is presented in the churches or in their life through the Word of God, through the Bible. And it is the Bible stories are all myths and nothing ever happened. I was listening to an interview of I think one of the students in Harvard University and in Boston area, some of the Ivy League universities, and they were talking about, they were saying that we need a religious revolution in this world, in our country, for our country to get right on track, which is a great thing. So but then the interviewer asked them, so what is the religious revolution that you are you thinking about? This country knows worshiping Jesus. Do we need to get in touch with Jesus again? And they says, no. That is, Jesus is a mythical character. Everything that happened and has been talked about Jesus has never happened. And it is just a false thing. And they were talking about the religious thing is we have to get in touch with ourselves, with our bodies, with our mind and our soul. So what they were saying is we have to depend upon ourselves and create ourselves as a God and explain that as a religious experience. It is a very scary thing that, you know, what comes out of all these things. But the Pharaoh is kind of mocking the whole worship-giving people and saying that they're lazy, they are good for nothing, and they're listening to the false words. It is the same thing today in this world also, that as we worship the Lord, many will say that, oh, these are all false words, and you're lazy and you don't have anything to do. And the worst thing, you're wasting your time worshiping God Himself. And we got to kind of think through that it is not the waste of time when we spend time with God, when we spend time alone with God and worship Him. And it is a problem when we categorize those things as a laziness or the false words. But then as we move along in this story, Egyptian taskmaster and Hebrew foreman give a news to Israelites, and verse 10 and 11 says, So the taskmasters of the people of their foreman went out and spoke to people, saying, thus says the Pharaoh, I'm not going to give you any straw, and you're going to just work as, you know, just produce the bricks. There is, you know, as many amount as you were before, but this is additional work on you because you wanted to worship God. Why have you not completed? And they were asking the required amount of everyday quota, because and people started the taskmaster started to ask the people, and it was becoming a difficult thing. And Hebrew foremen then go and complain to Pharaoh, and they say in 15 and 16 verse, and then the foreman of the son of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, why do you deal with the way you deal with your servants? Why are you making their life difficult? And then verses 17 and 18, it says, but he said, you are lazy, very lazy. Therefore, you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. So go and work now, and you will be given no straw, yet you must deliver the quota of the bricks. So more burden because you want to connect with and worship God. Many times in our life, we feel we do not have Pharaoh, but closer we draw ourselves to God, sometimes we feel there is a spiritual warfare kind of comes in our life. The problem starts to come because Satan doesn't like us to get closer and closer to God. Have you experienced that? Many times we hear the words of the Lord and we have a great spiritual experience, and immediately after that, the problem starts to come. It is an indication of spiritual warfare that kind of goes on. It is the same thing which kind of being explained here. And then foreman goes and complained to Moses in verse 21. And they said to Moses, may the Lord look upon you and judge you, for you have made us, you know, in this situation because you have asked us to go and worship the Lord in Pharaoh's sight and in the sight of the servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. The worst moment for Moses. Only one thing left for Moses is to go to God and ask for the solution. Ask for the solution. So when we operate in the worst situations in our life, there are two questions that we ask. What are those two questions? When we find ourselves in a difficult situation, what are the two questions we ask? The first question we ask, why? Why this has to happen? Why me, God? Why this situation has to be faced by me? You know, and all those kinds of things. And the second question we ask then, if we have enough, you know, courage, and if we calm ourselves, and if we are not all disturbed in our mind, we get to ask the questions, how we should do this now? What is the solution? Sometimes we get stuck into the first question and don't move along with the second question, how we should kind of figure out the difficult situation in our life. So Moses asked the question to God, why? In verses 22 and 23, and he says, then Moses returned to God and said, oh God, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me? He's questioning. If you had to send me here, why you are creating this problem? Even since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. So what are you trying to do, O God? You asked me to come and free this people, and this Pharaoh is making more and more problems. And why have you sent me here? And why this problem has to be there? And this is the response of God to why. And this is the response of God to our whys as well. Many times we ask the question, why, oh God, why? You asked me to go down this path. I followed you, I obeyed you, and all these problems are there, and I'm frustrated now. And we go to God and we ask the question, why? And he says to us, same thing, chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, and he's saying to us too, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for under compulsion he will let them go, and under compulsion he will drive them out of this land. And then verse 12 it says, but Moses spoke before the Lord saying, behold, the son of Israel have not listened to me. How then will Pharaoh listen to me? For I am unskilled in speech. And then, you know, Moses goes to God and asks the second question, how, O God? I'm unskilled in speech, and I cannot do this. More and more I try to do this, messier and messier it becomes. And many times in our life, God asks us to do certain things, and we try to do more messier and messier it becomes, and we come to the question, how am I supposed to even move forward? God, you asked me to do this, and how am I supposed to? And this is what the Lord says in chapter 6, verses 2, 6, 7, 8, and 29 of chapter 6. Five times God says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. He says, I exist. I know what is going on. I am who I am. What do we do with that? Many times in our messed up situation, God comes and says, I am God. What do you think we should do with that? Is that the solution? Our logical mind says, I need solution. And God says, I am who I am, and I am God. That's all you need to know. And that doesn't help us. The people who are constantly looking for solution, it doesn't help us many times. He just gives us the answer, I am God. And then he says, second answer to how I should tackle this problem or any problem which is going on in our life, which is messier and it's complicated, he responds to that also. He says, I will. So he responds to our question how. He says, I am who I am. I am God. And the second part, he says, I will. I will resolve this issue for you because I have called you. And God says to Moses seven times the word, I will. Verses 6 to 8 in chapter 6, it says, therefore, to the son of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egyptian. And I will deliver you from their bondage. And the Lord says, I will also redeem you with the outstretched arm and with the great judgment. And then verse 7, it again says, then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptian. Verse 8 again, he says, I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give you for the possession. And it says, I am the Lord. So God says to the question, how am I supposed to do this, O God? And God says, I am God. You got to depend upon me. You got to put your trust and faith in me because I am God. I'm in control, and don't try to apply your logic to this problem. Depend upon me. And that is the hardest part. I think that was a hard thing for Moses and Aaron to do as well in that situation. He says, I'm God and depend on me, and I will make a way for you out of this. And that is God's promise. And that is what we need to do many times in our life. Instead of finding the solution and moving along and trying to create more mess into our difficult situation, we got to simply recognize that God is in control. God is a living God. We have to put our faith in God and recognize that God is God. Many times we have a problem with this whole idea to really rely on God. And God just brings back to us, God brought Moses back to the fact that I am who I am. Just rest in me. Just put your faith in me. Just depend upon me. And the second part is, I will make a way. Just follow my instructions and follow my guidance, and I will make a way in your life. He will make a way in our life as well. You know, friends, tough time forces us the dependence on God. God calls us for something, and then there is a problem on the way, and it is a messy situation, and God forces us to depend upon him. He forced Moses to depend upon God. And then dependence forces the patience. We have to just wait. The solution will come. But we have to wait upon the Lord. That is the hardest thing that was there for Moses, and that is the hardest thing for us. To depend upon God and be patient with him. And then when we depend upon God, when we have patience, that makes us more wiser. You know, I want to conclude today by reading James chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. It's, you know, a long passage, but I think it's good to kind of sometimes read more from the Word of God and really directly connect to the Word of God. And today, maybe many of us are in the place, whether you're here listening online or you'll listen later on, that we know God has called us to do certain things and we have responded. But at the same time, the situation is messy. And we don't know what to do about that. We have a second guess in our life and we are just kind of wondering why there is such a messy situation. If God wanted me to do certain things, why there are challenges? And then we go to God and ask this two important question: why, God? And how you're going to do this? And God is saying to us that I am God, just depend upon me. And I promise I will take you through this situation. And he will. In response to that, all that, in conclusion, I want to read James chapter 1, verses 2 to 8, and this is what it says. And this is for all of us. And it says, consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to you all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you ask for wisdom, if you lack wisdom in any situation, approach God and ask for wisdom. That is what it's saying. And God will give that wisdom in that situation to all of us without reproach, without holding anything back. But he must ask in faith. There is a condition to that. We got to ask God in faith the wisdom in that difficult situation. how do I handle this situation, oh God? Here is the problem for me. I need wisdom, and please give me wisdom. Without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So if we do not have faith in God and ask wisdom, don't expect God will give us the wisdom because we are double-minded people. So I imagine this when Moses was talking to God, when all this mess was going on. God says, I'm God, depend on me, and I will free you. You know, Moses said what he had to say to God, but he depended on God. And he followed what God was asking him to do in that situation. And God provided him wisdom. He will do the same for us. You know, God defies all the logic that human has. And that is the reason we have to depend on him and follow what God is asking us to do. Our desire to worship him, to receive direction from God, is not a sign of laziness. When we rest in God and in patience wait upon God, it is not a sign of laziness, but it is a sign of great faith in God. So don't let anybody tell you that when you depend upon God, when you rest in God, when you are looking for answers from God for a longer period of time, you are just a lazy person. Because that's the best thing you can do. You cannot go wrong with that. Let's bow our heads today, give thanks to God. Father in heaven, thank you, Jesus, for your grace in our life. We praise you, we give you thanks, oh God. This weekend, the day that you have created for us to worship. And Father God, that give us your grace in those sticky situations, in those worst situations that we find ourselves in. That many times, oh Father God, that we know that you want us to do certain things in our lives because you have clearly asked us to do those things. And when we attempt to do those things, oh God, there are problems, there are situations that are beyond our capacity to resolve. And we may read into that wrongfully that you do not want us to go that path. But, oh Father, your call still remains the same for us. And you will lead us that path, oh Father, and find the solutions in that path. We need to just depend upon you and really follow your direction, oh Father. Sometimes it may take some time, but we need to recognize that you are our God. And you know what needs to happen. Thank you, Jesus, for your word, for our life today. Have your way in our life, oh God, today. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Don't forget, next Wednesday, we have a barbecue at the church for everybody. Just invite your friends. It starts at 6 o'clock, and we'll just kind of have a great time together. Just pray that weather is great, and we will be able to enjoy together. So just don't forget about that. Great. Go ahead.
Yeah. love.